Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm your host, Margot Joy Denader, and I am a coach, singer-songwriter, artist, and the author of a book titled The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy and excited to have Paul Leftenegger back as my guest today. Paul is a leader in a new genre of music, which is positive, conscious music, to inspire and promote global love and kindness. Tune in for a conversation about conscious music and hear the title song from his new album, Spheres of Love. Welcome, Paul.
Hi, Margot. How are you?
I am so happy and excited to have you as my guest for today.
I've been thinking about today, I was telling you, forever. So I'm really excited to be here, and hello, everyone.
Yes, yes, yes. Hello, everyone out there. We appreciate every one of you who listens to this show, enjoys the show, and shares the show with your friends and family, because this show is going to be full of spheres of love and circles of love. Right, Paul?
100%, and it will expand love, which is the best thing we can do right now.
Oh, I know. I know. It's so true, you know, that whole thing about what you put your attention on grows, which makes sense. I mean, if you had a garden and you didn't put attention on what you want to grow, the weeds are going to grow. We need to put our attention on love because we want to grow the love in the world. And
100%. It's more now than ever before, too. So I'm all in.
Oh, for sure. Me too. Me too. I was looking back and I realized that this is the sixth time I've had you on Live Your Music.
Wow, and that's really cool.
Yeah, yeah, starting in March of 2016. And so, yeah, you have been putting out music that is helping to expand the love in the world for quite a while now.
Yes, and, you know, it's funny, you know, I was thinking about today too, and we've, you know, all of these years that have gone by, have just, it's really made me realize too, just with you, I think it's so cool that we've done this on big milestone moments. And I feel like this is another one that's massive. And I feel like we're getting back to, I think, figuring out what we can do now post COVID, you know, like really expanding that space of love and kindness and humanity. And just, you know, I just feel like this is a massive milestone as well. So thank you for doing what you do.
Oh, you're welcome. I agree. I think that one thing that this whole thing has taught me for sure, and I feel like has taught so many people, is how important it is to have connection and communication and to be curious about each other and to use our creativity and to collaborate and celebrate and contribute in whatever ways that we can. And, you know, that's I have to say, though, that during the last year and a half or whatever, more than any other time in my whole life, I've had to say to myself, Margot, circle of control. Get back into what you can actually do anything about.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, because it's so easy to get caught up in all the things that are going on in the world and then not focus on what you want to focus on, what you want to grow in your garden of life.
100%. I know, just, you know, in the space of this, you know, I will say this has been for me, I mean, everybody has obviously had their challenges, but, you know, COVID for me was a massive, it was challenging. I really, you know, it's not over yet, but, you know, I think the thing that really threw me, I thought we were further ahead than some of the things I was witnessing myself, and it was a bit dark, actually, at times to witness some of that. So I don't want to Pollyanna anything either. You know, I don't want to bypass the emotional aspects of what this has been for all of us in suffering, really, in many ways. So, you know, it's been very... it's been challenging, but it's made us really go deep inside where we have never been before to really see what's there and what we can do about it. And I think this goes into the album that I've just done, and that is actually sort of, that was my intention with this, is I wanted to do something that was a force of light and healing for the world. And that was my commitment to God. So here we are.
Wow. Now, okay, so... Before I want to play the song in a little while, Spheres of Love, the title song. Mm-hmm. But before then, let's talk for a few more minutes, and then I'll play the song, and you can talk about it before and after. But
perfect.
Tell us just a little bit. I'm curious. Well, I'm always curious.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious, though, when you started writing the songs and when you started recording them, tell us a little bit of background on how this album came about.
Sure. So the way that this, you know, the thing that's kind of interesting about this album is it's the first one where I was asked, and I get asked by God, is sort of the way that this works. And
mm-hmm.
I'm just being really frank about that. I was asked by God to do this in January. And it's the first time where I really just didn't think I had it in me. I was like, no. I just
mm-hmm.
didn't feel like I had enough oomph in my, enough wind in my sails, you know, to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty sad, actually, in January of 2021 this year. And
mm-hmm.
I remember saying no when that came through. And it took me about a week and a half in total till I started just being like, well, why am I saying no? I need to say yes. This is silly. I at least have to try. So I said, well, God, you know what? If you want me to do this, you're going to have to lead the way because I don't know if I can do this, not to mention ask for money, not to mention all the things that is required in this during these times.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was really the start of this. And what's really interesting is this album is the most expensive I've made. It was the easiest to fund, and it was the most length in terms of getting to the point of recording and the easiest to write. So all of the things, and not to mention so many miracles of support, just instantly aligned. Every single time there was a challenge, it was just center and just pray, and instantly it was resolved. And anyways, so I recorded this in September in Toronto at a very famous studio called the Orange Lounge Recording Studio, where people like Amy Winehouse and, you know, Sarah McLachlan, The Tea Party, you know, Annie Lennox, like crazy, One Republic, like lots of people record here. And I was a little bit scared going in, but it was the most incredible experience with my producer and sound team. So it's been incredible.
Oh, that sounds so exciting and so much fun. Being in the recording studio is like one of my all-time favorite things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And our
mm-hmm.
friend Robert Berry has recorded all of our songs down in Campbell, California. He has a studio
mm-hmm.
called Sound Studios. And oh, he's another one of my guests that I've had on a lot of times because he's
mm-hmm.
definitely, as you are, living the music he hears calling him. And he's getting beautiful and fun music out there. And you know, it's just, but every time we've gone there, we started recording with him in November of 2003 was the first time we went down
wow.
to record songs with him. And every song that we've recorded with him, we've had so much fun, and he's made it such a joy and a blessing. So I know what it can be like to be in that kind of recording studio.
Yes.
The one that you're in is, you know, it's easy to get intimidated. You
mm.
have to really focus when you're in a situation like that. And
yeah, that first day is always, I will say, like, my, I felt a little bit, you know, you have to work on your self-worth a little bit when you get into that space. I was like, am I really here? And what was weird is during COVID, we had to be very
mm-hmm.
isolated. So I had the massive studio in this. So there's a couple of studios, but I had the big one, and I was in this
mm-hmm.
massive room by myself. And you know, my sound team was in the other, you know, the control room, which is another room. And you sort of look through the glass window at each other and communicate through microphones. But it's fascinating to be in that space, as you know. So.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah.
I know. Well, okay. So now, tell us just a little bit about the songs that are on the album and.
Sure.
I've got a list of the songs, but I'm just like hear briefly what you have to say about the songs that are on the album, and then let's play Spheres of Love after that.
Sure. So the first, you know, like the real start of this album is, and it's interesting the way that I wrote this album because it doesn't always happen this way, but they were actually given to me and written in the way that they're on the album. So they're in the order sort of that they were written. And it's sort of a spiritual flow is how I would like to explain this album. So it's a spiritual practice in a way to do this album from 1 through 11. There's 11 songs.
Mm-hmm.
But the first song, and this is the one that I just want to focus on to begin with, is actually These mm-hmm. Hands of Mine. And These Hands of Mine is really about reminding us that our heart and our soul come through our body, through our hands. And when we action our service and our love to the world or the external world outside of us from the mm-hmm. inside heart space, what is really cool is that you start to have an experience of heaven, was the vision. And heaven is reflected back to us once we share our heart on the inside to the outside world. And it doesn't always happen fast. It sometimes takes a while. But once you start making the commitment, you start experiencing moments of heaven, which is loving moment reflecting back to you. And this song is really to showcase that energy that starts flowing when you do that. And this is a moment of heaven to me because, you know, at the end of the day, this album is all about love. You're here.
Mm-hmm.
Our audience is here on a live call or a replay. And mm-hmm. we are sharing a moment of our co-creative love together. And that's where our souls and our hearts are reflecting a very powerful vibration together. So, you know, these songs really go from that. And then, you know, obviously To the Highest Self is the second song.
Mm-hmm.
And the third song is How Do I Show Them, you know, which is about God. How do I show them the love that I know to be true? And then, you know, it goes on and on with, you know, the exploration of the journey within. And then my favorite song so far on the album that is just getting a lot, I mean, it's the first one that's out technically, is Broken and Whole. But I thought I was finished after my 10 songs. And then what was really interesting is, you know, I sat down and I knew there was one more in my heart. And I sat down and Broken and Whole came out. And it was probably the fastest song I've ever written. And it was all about the paradox, you know, the good, the bad, the right, the wrong, you know, dark and light, happy and sad. And this song is getting some really big replies from people really feeling, you know, this during COVID. So I think that it's reminding us that even if we feel broken, we are whole with our love, no matter what.
I
just feel like this whole container, you know, if you know, taking the time to listen to, will take the listener on a journey through their heart and soul to something much greater than where we're at. And that's the big thing, the question, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, what you said is so true, though. I mean, every single person on this planet is both broken and whole because, you know, everybody has their moments of things that have broken their heart or broken their spirit. And yet, you know, we have to focus on love to get back and, you know, love and listening to joy, our inner being. That's what I call my inner being, joy. When I see the word joy, it always reminds me to focus on love, to focus on the present moment, because I know that joy lives in the present moment. And no matter what has happened in our past, any of us, not just me, not just you, not, you know, is that's there. There's the present moment. And I love, as Wayne Dyer always said, now is here and then it's gone.
You know, it's funny, as you say that, it's 3:13, Joy. That's his number, Wayne. It's 3:13 in Eastern time right now. So it's just funny, you're talking about Wayne. That's his number.
I know. And, you know, it's so often I wake up and at 3:13 or just before or just after 3:13.
It's wild.
And I think I hear him saying, the morning breeze has secrets to tell you. Get up and write them down. So, you know, and the times that I don't do it right away, I just toss and turn. And then, so I've learned to, okay, the morning breeze is talking to me. I'm going to be tired later today, but I need to get up and write.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Wayne's amazing, as you know.
Oh, totally. You know, it's interesting. When I was looking back on you, speaking of Wayne, looking back on you being on the show the first time in March of 2016, and it was, he transitioned, became an angel. I call him an angel in the sun. He's one of my angels in the sun. In August 30th of 2015, and he had always talked about how he had just all of a sudden decided he needed to give up drinking, you know, and that he kept that way. And I had come across some things during March that way too much to talk about right now, but anyway, where I thought, you know, I'm going to try 30 days with no alcohol and see how I feel. Mm-hmm. So I decided I was going to do that in April of 2016, and also started doing yoga with Adrian then.
Yep.
And it felt so good doing the yoga and staying away from the alcohol and drinking more water that I ended up going, well, I think I'll do another 30 days and another, and I have not had a drink of alcohol since then. And I don't crave it at all. I don't miss it at all. I'm so thankful for how clear it makes me feel and how much money it saves too when
yeah.
we go out. You know,
well, that's
so
good.
Yeah. Anyway, I would love to play the song, so Spheres of Love. So tell me just a little bit, or tell us just a little bit about it, and then I'll play the song.
Sure. So the big thing about this song really is, you know, I just want to share that it came from a vision from a little boy that I had. And I used to love Kermit the Frog, you know, Rainbow Connection was a big song for me when I was a kid. And I remember being in my bedroom listening to my Fisher-Price record player and having visions of the future and helping to heal the world. And what's really interesting is, you know, I brought Louise Hayes Ashes with me into the studio every day and home every day when I was recording this album. Although I was alone in the studio, I know there was many beautiful angels with me when I was recording this. And I felt the connection to this, especially in the studio when I started to hear it started to be layered. And it's all about healing the world. And I realized when I was a kid that that vision that I had when I was probably in between 5 and 8 years old, it was sort mm-hmm. of like a continuous vision of helping the world with singing like Kermit the Frog in a way, and all
aww.
The Muppets.
I love
but
Kermit
this song,
and all the Muppets. Yeah.
I know. And you know, that Jim Henson, you know, that beautiful space that he held for the childhood for me was a huge thing. So anyways, this song is really about healing the world. And I think in, you know, the year that we're in, 2021, this is really what we need to start focusing our attention on, regardless of where we've been. And I really wanted to orchestrate this with harmonies. So it's a powerful song that sort of crescendos, as you've heard. And I look forward to the debut with you. This is the first time the world's really heard this on any radio. So you're it.
Well, I feel totally honored, and I absolutely love the song. I've listened to it a whole bunch of times since you sent it to me to use for the show today, but now I just have to find it here in my list. Okay, so we need, it's under S's, so we've got, here it is, Spheres of Love, Paul Leftenegger. And it is just over 4 minutes, excuse me, so we'll play the song, and then I'd love to hear some more about the song from you afterwards.
Beautiful.
world is this anyway? Is it yours or is it mine? It's time to heal the world. Come on and heal the world. Come on and heal the world. Come on and heal the world. Connect your light, connect your love from the inside out. So heal the world. Come on and heal the world.
Oh, Paul. I love that song so much.
Thank you so much, Margo. I really appreciate that. It's a special one, just for, I remember, you know, I recorded that halfway through, you know, the whole album in the studio, and it was just one of those moments where when I heard it sort of with the harmonies, I was just like, mm-hmm. wow, this just feels really right for the time that we're in right now, and the power of just, you know, focusing our attention on what we can do with each other, you know, healing the world with our love.
Yeah, yeah, it's, oh, wow. And, you know, that reminds me so much of both Louise Hay and Wayne Dyer, too, you know. Louise and her book, You Can Heal Your Life, and Wayne Dyer's was always about moving from just feeling okay to feeling as good as you can get, you know.
Yes.
And, yeah, and you don't get there by focusing on things besides love.
No, it's so true. You know, it's funny with this album. I read I Can See Clearly Now while I was sort of writing this album. And what's really interesting is I actually had I get messages from the other side sometimes, but I was guided to actually reach out and try to, you know, Wayne sort of visited me in my heart and asked me to reach out to Donna Gould, who actually is was a huge part of Wayne's really fame and was the publicist that worked for some of the big major publishing companies that he was with when he began. And we mm-hmm. actually formed a relationship while I was writing this song. And it's very interesting how, like, I just think that when you're in a state or a vibration of love, I feel like we can have messages that come through our heart to help us. And, you know, there's so many things about this album that I feel holds that vibration. So it's just interesting. You bring up Wayne and, you know, Louise literally was in the studio with me. And, you know, these huge relationships that we've had with these people that have held so much love, you know, Jesus is not really on the earth, but he's still in our hearts, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, Gandhi, you know, all of these people, Wayne, Louise are no different. We're no different. We create love in our life, and it's our job and our mission. So I really just feel, you know, in that space, when we focus on love, healing and really, quite frankly, miracles, you know, the ingredient to a miracle is love. So I just like to focus on that, especially after hearing that song and the intention behind it.
Yeah. I totally agree. And, you know, heal the world right now. My husband just brought in a post-it note and gave it to me deadly. He says, heal the world right now. It's so true. He loves that, the last chorus. But, you know, I love it. We do. We all need to do what we can do in our circle of influence, what we can do each day to be more loving, kind, and creative. And you've always been about not just love, but kindness, too. I remember, you know, you used to have your website was Be Kindness.
Yes. Yeah, it's true. And, you know, I don't want to say that it certainly isn't that I'm a human being. I make mistakes. I trip. I sometimes get mad. You know, I don't want to bypass the fact, you know, I have all of those things. But my intention every day is to expand love and kindness as best I can in some way. And when you do that, something happens in your life. You know, I've been doing it for 11 years almost. And, you know, miracles happen when you make the intention to do that. Whatever. And even if it's, you know, in your community serving someone, but when you serve others, something happens because you're sharing your heart, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Oh, wow. Yeah. I feel like Louise and Wayne are right here with us right now, and they're shining, they're angels in the sun, shining love on all of us right now. And, you know, what you said, though, about being human, oh, my God, I have plenty of human moments. I mean, I know that there are some people out there that, because, you know, on social media and whatnot, I don't post my, you know, times when I feel really sad or when I have temper tantrum or something like that. You know, there's been plenty of times where our son Xander and my husband and I will go, what would people think of Miss Positive right now?
Right. That's the joy of having, you know, the human experience include some of those moments where you're like, well, I know I remember this one. I'll tell a funny story. I remember this one time, and this is what happens. I remember going to, I went to a Wendy's to get something to eat, you know, it was like sort of a quick dinner sort of moment quite a long time ago. And I just, it was one of those things where just everything just went wrong in the drive-thru. It was just like, you know, from not hearing me to, you know, to having the wrong thing. And then I just became a little bit overwhelmed and really just wasn't very nice, really. And I left and I just, something didn't sit right with the way that I was, actually. And I went back through the drive-thru and I apologized. And it was one of those things where she was so shocked, this woman was so shocked that I had come back to apologize. And I recognized how much it really actually surprised her to actually have someone say sorry. And I just said, really, that had nothing to do with you. That had everything to do with me. And I remember her look on her face, just she lit up because, you know, you could tell it meant something that I had said sorry. And this is the thing, you know, being human, we do have these moments, but it's what we do with them afterwards, I think, that really, you know, we can still have a moment, but we can also, you know, fix them, you know, correct our way and auto-correct those crazy moments where we sort of lose our grip on being kind too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so true. I remember Louise Hay talking about a lot about the same type of thing. It's not that she ever didn't feel bad or sad or any of the lower emotions at all anymore.
Yeah.
It's that she had tools to help her get back to feeling good again and back to focusing on love again as quickly as possible. You know, and depending on what's happened, I mean, it can take longer at times than others, but, you know, it's what we focus on expands.
It's so true. And, you know, even just with, you know, you bringing that up too, the thing that comes to my heart just to mention too, and I think this is a really interesting thing, is I remember I was buying my Canon camera, which is a really big investment that I had a number of years ago now. But it's funny because that day that I was buying that camera, I had that interview with you when I was releasing, I think it was Faith, my album Faith. And we had pre-planned that, and that's the day that Louise transitioned. That day that she transitioned was the day I was the first person to tell you, I believe.
I remember
just being, you know, with you on that moment when we had just found out that Louise transitioned, and, you know, that circle of love that we have was just one of those moments. And it's so funny because when I travel, whenever I've gone to do shows or, you know, tours or whatnot, I always bring my Canon camera and I always think of you whenever I sort of pack my camera. And I always remember that moment with you, which is a really funny memory I have of your show and just, you know, living your music, literally, right? So,
excuse me, I remember that. I'm just like, I remember us talking just before the show was going to go on the air, and you told me about it, and I had no idea. And it was so amazing that it was exactly 2 years after Wayne became an angel.
Right, right.
So, you know, yeah, I mean, it was August 30th of 2017, and he had become an angel on August 30th of 2015. So, I mean, the fact that they did that together is definitely, and Wayne always said he loved Ooga Boogas.
Yeah. I know. And the thing that, you know, even with the funny part about this, too, is I don't know if you know this. Maybe I don't know if I've said this to you, but I've become really good friends with Alia, who took care of Louise, as you know. But the thing that in the start of this whole pandemic, I flew out to California for a wedding for a family, and also planned to visit Alia for the first time. And I got to see, I went out for lunch with her where Louise used to go, one of her favorite places. And Alia actually and I connected from my song being used for her, you know, obviously for Louise's 90th birthday afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I had found out that actually essentially that Louise transitioned to my music. And the thing that's so wild about this is Alia really wanted me to receive some of her ashes with a pink quartz crystal heart that sat on Louise's desk. So I mm-hmm. just think that it's so interesting how, you know, our heart is so powerful, and the miracle of it reaching across the miles, you know, to have moments where you can feel the love reflecting back to you. And you're connected. Our hearts are all connected. I really believe this. Mm-hmm. If we would just settle enough to remember that we're all connected with our love and our heart. And, you know, Louise was a great teacher of that, you know. Love yourself, heal your life. You know, that's her message. And that life really, really loves you, you know. And what happens when we live that? This sort of thing can happen more and more. So we're in the time for that, I believe. And I love sort of just sharing space to honor, I think, just the love that Louise left as a legacy with Wayne, with us. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all in this together. No one's, you know, doing this as a solo journey here, you know.
It's so true, you know, and collaboration has always been something that is so important to me, and also making a contribution in our own ways. And what you said about saying you were sorry that day to that girl in the drive-thru, I mean, it makes a contribution. Can you imagine mm-hmm. how differently she felt about people because of you doing that versus if you had just been angry and left her with that feeling?
Yeah, and so, I mean, this is what happened too, is I remember just, like, I was driving away thinking, like, this doesn't feel right. And I'm so used to not doing that doing it was like, oh my God, like, I can't leave that woman, like, feeling like that. That just felt awful to me. So and really, what's so beautiful is by saying sorry, you free yourself really as well, you know, apologizing and, you know, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. And you take with you something that's light instead of that horrendousness that you can be, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's important to, you know, to say you're sorry when you're sorry. And
yes.
Some people, unfortunately, the way they say it, you know, what you say is important, but how you say it is even more important. I've heard that for years in my mind, mm-hmm. and I keep reminding myself that because, you know, you can go, sorry, or you can say,
yeah.
I am really sorry. I really didn't. I don't usually behave that way, and I feel so sorry that I behaved that way. And we can all get busy and distracted and frustrated and say,
yeah, and especially in
things,
these times, you know, like that's,
mean.
Yeah, these are the times where that can happen a lot, especially during like the last couple of years with the COVID factor. So I think, you know, just remembering the tool, I always like the Ho'oponopono as well, like I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And
mm-hmm.
I always remember somebody had said to me once, you know, instead of just saying I'm sorry, please forgive me, it's totally different energy. And, you know, please forgive me, I'm so sorry, that was really not, you know, not the way that I wish to be. So, you know, just anyways, it's very beautiful to just sort of have a conversation that's real about, I think, just the life that we're living right now. So thank you for sharing.
Well, you know, the conscious music, you were talking about conscious music and actually conscious choices too. You know, I mean, so many of us get so busy. I mean, it's like there's like busyness everywhere. How are you? I'm busy.
Yeah.
You know, people say. And, you know, to be conscious of our choices. And my friend Deborah Oakland and I were talking about this, I think, on the last show that I did with her, is that, you know, you can pause for a minute and you can either react to what they said to you or what happened, or you can pause and you can think about how you want to respond. And I think what you said, though, to me is like that. It's about responding, deciding, no, I want to respond to the situation instead of just react and then go off and me feeling terrible and her feeling terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So, Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Ah, life. I know one of the things that I've been sort of studying right now is Hinduism, and there's so many beautiful things that are in this book. I've been reading The World's Religions, and it was written mm-hmm. by Houston Smith. I don't know if you've ever read that book, but if anybody mm-hmm. wants a good read right now, it's definitely, and it's interesting, in the book I purchased, I think it's the fifth edition, and he's 90, so I think he wrote it 50 years before. And so he's 90 reflecting on the book, and one of the editors from, I think it was HarperCollins, if I'm not mistaken, he was talking about, had said, you know, you're going to look back as an old man and really love who this person was that wrote this book. And I thought it was so interesting that an editor from 50 years before was saying that, and then he was writing the foreword to this book. And the way that he, you know, the world religions are explained in this book are just fascinating. And Hinduism begins the book. And it's just beautiful to sort of reflect on, I think, just, you know, some of the things that I think we are starting to get a handle on as a world, and respecting, you know, all the cultures and, you know, the beauty of really, quite frankly, love and the seeking of love. From the soul. And this book is one of those ones where it stops me. You know, those aha moments that you have that Oprah always talks about. I've had so many in this book, you know. So, amazing.
Well, that's also an ooga booga, because this morning I was rereading a couple pages in Tony Robbins' book, Awaken the Giant Within.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. in the pages that I was reading, he was talking about how when he was 18, 19 years old, he decided that he was going to go visit all sorts of different churches. And, you know, he had been raised in a certain way, and he at first was going that way, and then he was going, I want to see what they're all like, you know. And he realized that they were all had a lot of things that were similar, and then they had other things that were, quote, rules that made it where they wouldn't accept each other's. But, you know, I believe we all need to be curious about each other and find what's good that we can maybe all live instead of going, well, my way's right and your way's wrong.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those things. The conundrum of being a human being is, you know, who's right and who's wrong? Well, maybe everybody's right in being who they are and letting it happen the way that it's naturally meant to, you know?
I know. That's what I think. That's what I believe anyway.
Yeah.
Is true. And you have a song on here on the album. Well, actually two that have angels in them, the number seven, mm-hmm. the angels are listening, and nine,
yes.
guardian angel of God. And could you talk mm-hmm. about those just briefly? We've still got 6 minutes left,
sure.
so we're getting towards
yeah,
the
sure.
end, but we have a little bit of time left.
Well, these songs in particular are very special to me. So, you know, the way that they sort of came through is that I was, you know, just sort of sitting at the piano. And the way that this happened was really interesting, especially with Guardian Angel of God, and it begins actually with the Serenity Prayer. Mm-hmm. And this story is a really interesting one, because the way that, you know, this works is God asked me to write basically a song, which was a prayer amalgamating many prayers together. So in this prayer, it has the Guardian Angel of God, and it also has, basically, you know, Amazing Grace, Our Father, Hail Mary, and it all comes together with the refrain as Guardian Angel of God, which is a beautiful prayer that's actually from my Bible that I just love. And what's really interesting about this song is after I had written it, I will never forget this morning, which I woke up really early, and it was, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but it was running through my psyche when I woke up mm-hmm. from my sleep, and I thought that was really weird. And at the same time, I just sort of let it happen in that early space of the morning. When we went mm-hmm. for a walk later in that day, which we do every day, what's really wild, and I haven't shared this all that much publicly, but I did mention it on Facebook, ultimately we were shot at in our neighborhood. And I have to tell you, in my life I've experienced different miracles, but that song, I felt so much in that morning, in that day. And I don't know if it was a slingshot that this person shot at us or if it was a gun. I really don't know. We mm-hmm. did end up calling the police and all of that stuff happened. But the thing that's wild is that this, whatever it was, when you hear that sound, you'll never mistake that sound, because I've never heard that sound, but it whizzed right through, right between my husband and I. And it was just one of those things where I felt like that prayer was such a huge part of that song. And I feel like this prayer will have miracles that happen, because I feel like it already has with me. So it's a really personal song for me, that one in particular. And then The Angels Are Listening, the other song that you mentioned, is really important, because I think we need to remember that God is always listening to us. The universe is listening to us. And that is, you know, I called in basically many of the archangels into that song, and you'll hear it, you know, obviously when it's out. And the album's out on November the 11th, for those that may not know, worldwide, and should be available in 200 countries. It's going to be on Spotify. It's on going to be on my YouTube channel. If you go to my website, which is BeKindness, so BeKindness.com, on the homepage, there's quick links to all of the social media sites to hear the album or purchase it through Apple Music. So a little bit about that.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I can't wait to get the actual album so that I can listen to it in the car, because we are one of the few people on the planet that still have a CD player.
I know, I do too. I love my CD player. I use it often.
Oh, I know. I don't want to give up this car until I have to, because I love having a CD player so that I can listen to whatever albums I want to listen to, and also playlists that I've put together iTunes, and then made discs of years ago. Yep. Lately, my computer doesn't even use discs.
Yeah, I know. I know. There is something about holding something physical. I mean, as a musician, I like holding a physical representation of what was in my heart once. And, you know, it's cool to have that sort of, I like that physicality, you know?
Oh, me too. I don't know if you know this about me, but I used to sell records during college, and I loved records. And yeah, I love records.
I didn't know that, no.
Yeah.
Those days, I miss the records. I remember my little Fisher-Price record player. I it's one of my first greatest possessions in my life, was that little thing. And, yeah, I love it. I love records.
We only have a minute and 37 seconds left until we get cut off. Oh, my gosh.
Well, so I want to just say thank you.
What do you want to say as we say?
Yeah, I want to say thank you to you for just, you know, blessing this album with, I think, just a space of holding love. I always like to look at moments like this as a timeless moment of love, and holding the container of it for, I think, just blessing this album and the collectiveness that, you know, music reaches across the planet. I've experienced the miracles of that, you know, in my community. And, you know, I just want to say thank you for that to you, Margo, and to everyone listening, whether you're on, you know, a live call with us today, or if you're listening in a replay, love is timeless, and it will reach you as it's meant to. And, you know, God bless you, Margo, and everyone listening.
Oh, God bless you, too. Thank you for all the ways you live your music. Thank you so much. And I'm going to say bye for now.
Yep.
It's 12:44.
Okay.
Live your music, everyone.